So now let's move into where can Maine reduce its reliance on fossil fuels and then try to keep some of these dollars in Maine. We looked at all kinds of things Maine can do, but the biggest untapped renewable resource in the state of Maine is offshore wind. This is a U.S. map produced by the National Renewable Energy Lab. It shows where the wind, how the wind changes on the coasts. You can see the quality of the wind. The orange and the reds are the best winds. So if you travel from Florida to Maine, the wind regime gets better and better and better. By the time you get to the Gulf of Maine, we essentially have the best offshore wind resource in the United States. Some states have solar energy, some states have oil, some states have gas. We have offshore wind. How much offshore wind? Within 50 miles of the coast of Maine, we have 156 gigawatts of offshore wind capacity. When we got to these numbers here about almost nine years ago, people were doing backflips in our office. This is a huge resource. It's 156 nuclear power plants worth of wind when the wind's blowing, of course, just blowing out there. So we set ourselves to figure out how to bring this energy cost effectively back home, and trying to do it by requiring no subsidies. So how do we bring this energy back home cost effectively with no subsidies and create jobs in the state of Maine and stabilize our energy prices in the long run? Notice 156 gigawatts is a lot more than the 2.4 gigawatts that we need to power the state of Maine. So it's a huge, huge resource. Now, throughout the U.S. is 4,000 gigawatts of offshore wind. There's a lot of offshore wind not only in Maine but throughout the country. So who leads the world in offshore wind? Actually, Europe leads the world in offshore wind. They've been building offshore wind farms since 1991. The U.K., the Netherlands, Germany are some of the leaders in Europe. But Europe has shallow waters off of its coast. Typically, most of these farms are built in 50, 60, maybe 70 feet of water, and they use fixed foundations to the seabed to support these towers. Sometimes they're pilings driven into the seabed. When they do that, they have to actually use jack-up barges to go out there and erect these structures, erect the towers, erect the turbines. The turbines they're using today, the biggest one are 8 megawatts. They have 500-foot rotor diameters, weigh 340 tons for the nacelle. So you need large cranes to put them up. So it costs a lot of money to out there and do it that way. In Maine, we don't have shallow waters. We have deep waters. If you go 3 miles off the coast of Maine, you're in over 300 feet of water. You couldn't use this because you have deep waters. The foundations would be too expensive to build. So we started working on floating wind turbine technologies. It's a wind turbine that floats in the water that's moored into the seabed with three mooring chains. And this is a design that we developed over years that now we have patents on at the University of Maine. This is a concrete hull that supports a wind turbine that floats in the water. The water level is about this high, and you have about 45 feet above the water and another 55 feet below the water. To give you a sense of scale, on a 6-megawatt machine, that's an actual school bus. And actually, I put up people here that Jake took out. So this is the size of a human being right there, relative to the size of this hull. Oops.
See?
They're drowned. We'll have
no
to get it.
Safety line, no life jacket.
Yeah, yeah.
So where's OSHA?
It gives you a sense of scale, essentially, what we're looking at. But what's unique about this hull is that it's made with concrete. And each one of these columns are flotation columns, just like you have, if you've sailed the catamaran, which has two hulls, that's a trimaran. It has three hulls, one, two, and three. These are big, big concrete cans full of air on the inside. The concrete doesn't float, but when you put air inside of it, it floats. So these are 30 feet in diameter and about 12 stories high. So these are like three 12-story buildings that are actually holding up this unit in the water. And then the tower floats. Of course, the tower is supported by that. Now, we tested this concept in 2013 for the first time. We built a 1 to 8 scale version of this hull. We built it in our lab at the University of Maine using concrete, all built in Maine by us and Chimbrow and others, who had over 30 companies that participated in this project from Maine and others. And took it from Orono to Brewer on three trucks, flatbed trucks, assembled it with the tower and turbine, and you can see we had 1,600 people show up for the event, and put it in the water right in Brewer and towed it out to sea. You can see how it's being towed to sea. This is a Maine Maritime Academy boat. That's a 1 to 8 scale version of that unit, so it's 1/8 the size. But it looks like the other one altogether. We towed it out to Castine and moored it to the seabed. When it arrived in Castine, we pre-installed three mooring lines, just like you have on a boat. And each mooring line is attached to each one of the three flotation columns. And then when it arrived also, we had an undersea cable that was connected to the CMP grid. And when it came in, we brought the cable up through the unit and connected it to the grid. It had over 60 sensors on it, so this is a big experiment. It's like a big floating laboratory. It told us how the unit moves in the water, what the waves look like around the unit, what the wind looks like around the unit. And the good news is it did exactly what our models predicted. That's why we did it. We did that experiment. And this is a unit looking at it from Castine. And the cable comes from under the water and up to the CMP grid. It was there for a year and a half, as I said. And actually, the folks in Castine liked it so much when we wanted to take it out after the test ended, they said, hey, why do you want to take it out? Actually, we love this unit. And actually, it actually drove tourism. The schooner rides they were giving, everybody wanted to go see the floating turbines. It was pretty interesting.
Dr. Dogger, may we chime in with a question at this point, or do you want to wait till the end?
Yeah.
I see Representative O'Connor has a question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. So did you actually, with this demonstration or future demonstrations, did you actually produce wholesale electricity?
Yes, we did.
You did. Do you know how much you produced?
Yes, it's basically, yeah, we have the data. We can provide it to you. I don't have it off the top of my head, but yes, we did. What we did is we put it on the grid, essentially. We didn't charge CMP for it, but we just put it on the grid for the test. Yeah.
With that, I'd be really interested because I'd like to do like a cost differential and see what that was and compare it to what a full-size model would be.
Yeah, absolutely. We're happy to work with you on that and compare the two for you. Yeah.
That would be great. Yeah. And I'd love to get the meter readings from that. I don't know. Do you have those? Are those available?
I'll probably have to go to CMP and get them, but probably could.
Okay, that would be wonderful. Yeah. I'd love to see that.
Sure.
Thank you.
So,
if I may, just a quick follow-up on that. I think I visited this site at one point, and I assume that the wind resource is a little bit different where it was located. So
yes.
It might be somewhat apples to oranges.
Yeah, it's hard to make that comparison because this was a test to test actually how the motion of the unit moves to the water. We're not trying to make electricity. We're not trying to maximize electricity production here. Mm-hmm. We just plugged it to the grid. We would turn it off, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks at a time to test it and so on and so forth. So it wasn't really running.
Yeah.
It was mostly to test how it responds to the waves and the winds. This is a structural test, a marine test, not an electricity test. Plus, it's not a location I would put a wind turbine anyway. It's not a place. It's a sheltered location where you don't have a lot of good winds. So to put that in perspective, really, we can't compare the two sites. It's really apples and oranges. But happy to give you the data anyway, but I wouldn't make a comparison. Okay. So,
Thank you.
Looking at that, this is the 1:8 scale version. And because it's 1:8 scale, it's not a lot of large storms relative to its size. This is called Winter Storm Electra. And you can see here, this is a snowstorm, and this represented close to a 50-year return period events. This is 50-year relative to the size of the hull. And you can see the wind blowing across. You look at the waves crashing on the hull. And as you look at that hull with a 50-year storm going relative to the size of the hull, it's barely moving. And that's how we prove that the technology works. And the unit has 60 sensors to, and that was the purpose of the whole experiment, is to prove that the hull is not going to move with the waves and the wind and survive a 500-year storm. Do we know enough of the physics of this experiment to predict what happens in a 500-year storm? A 500-year storm in the Gulf of Maine has 70-foot waves. So the question is, how is it going to survive a 70-foot wave? That was the sole purpose of that experiment. It was not really an experiment to produce electricity. It was an experiment to find out if it can survive a 500-year storm and whether we can really predict what happens. So you could see that it did extremely well. It was an extremely successful program. As a result of that, we're moving now to build the full-size units. That's the goal of the program. We competed starting a number of years ago under a federal program called the Advanced Technology Demonstration Program for Offshore Wind. This is a program created by the Department of Energy to develop technologies that will reduce costs of offshore wind. Our number one goal is to be able to put electricity on the grid with no subsidies. Okay, that's the goal here. So that matched well with that program. We applied. There was over 70 applications to start with. And over many years, the number of remaining applicants is now two. And the two remaining applicants is the University of Maine program, as well as the project in Ohio in the Great Lakes. These are the two remaining efforts. Because of the success of our 1:8 scale demo program, which was actually reviewed by engineers from across the country that the DOE actually brought over, they decided they're going to invest $40 million for us to build a full-size unit. And that decision was a milestone decision for us last May. And the goal is to put two turbines off Monhegan Island in a test site that was assigned to us under legislature by the state legislature. So the two turbines are two full-size units. So these units are 6 megawatts. They're enough to produce energy for about 3,000 homes together. The rotor diameter on these units is 500 feet, 1 2/3 football field. So each blade is about 225-250 feet long. So this is a big hull, big units. So we're very excited that the Department of Energy selected our program out of all the programs out there to continue to fund. So the test site is 2.5 miles south of Monhegan Island, and the reason for that is the dotted line you see up here is very important. That's the state waters. If you're within 3 miles of the island, then you're in state waters. If you're outside the 3 miles from the island, outside that dotted line, you're in federal waters. Because we're in the state legislature put together a permitting process for state waters for these demonstration projects, and the federal permitting process, if we're to move the site outside the dotted line, just across the line, will delay the project by close to 5 years. Okay, it basically would kill the project. So the state permitting process was developed. We followed it very carefully, and we're planning to permit under the state process. And with that, a bit of the history of how the university got to the site. It was thanks to the legislature that passed a bill in a bipartisan fashion, almost unanimously.